This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Welcome along, everyone. Hello. It's Dave Kellner and Mike Grennan with you on this week's golf podcast. Looking forward to the ISPS Hand of Wales Open and the Deutsche Bank Championship, which is the second event of the FedEx Cup playoff events. And I'm happy to be in the studio this morning alongside my golf podcast pal, Mr. Grennan. And even though we didn't get the full chance to enjoy last week's events, and they weren't particularly fruitful from a betting perspective, they provided a couple of absolutely top quality winners.
Yes. By the way, Dave, didn't you have a first round leader bet that got at least placed, didn't it, on Mark Foster?
Yeah, he got a little bit of a place.
Yeah.
It was a bit frustrating because he opened up with a six under par round, and unfortunately, as is often the case with first round leader bets, someone got seven under, and then you're chopping that place part apart, really. But Mark Foster, he's definitely a first round golfer. I think he contended throughout the first couple of days, and then dropped away as the weekend commenced.
And a man that you've backed before but didn't back this week, Tommy Fleetwood, got his head over the line first, didn't he, in a playoff with Gallagher, which was he looks a decent player in the making, Fleetwood. I know you've been a fan of his.
Yeah, he appeared to fall out of contention, didn't he? He was two back after a bogey on 15, but fabulous eagle on 16, then a birdie on 18 to get him into the playoff, and then hit a quality tee shot and a quality second shot into the heart of the green on that par 5, and two-putted for the win. Some way to close out your tournament, especially when you're looking for your maiden win. That was pretty impressive from Tommy Fleetwood, a guy that ball striking wise is absolute quality. Sometimes the putter can misbehave, but obviously only 22 years old, I think, so top quality talent.
It's not the putter that misbehaves, it's the guy holding it.
that's true. But for a guy chasing his first tour win, finish from Tommy Fleetwood. And in the Barclays, Adam Scott just backed
into it. I don't
know
what's going on there. I couldn't watch the Sunday night coverage. I've caught up with it on highlights now, but really I skimmed through it a little bit. When you know the result, it's not the same, is it? What was Matt Kuchar doing, Dave? I'd tipped Matt Kuchar on the podcast, and I'd also backed Gary Woodland, who I gave a strong mention to last week. So I was in good terms with myself going into Sunday, thinking I've got a big chance here other than Kevin Chappell, who was a shot behind.
And yep.
Wow, Kuchar, very unusually for him, was all over the place and shot seven over in the round, didn't he? So, yeah, well, that was a bit frustrating. And Adam Scott just kind of gets one of those fluking up winners that he didn't even expect himself, which he quite honestly admitted to his credit.
Yeah, it's such a rarity in an event like that with such
good
a top
players.
Quality field that you can have a guy playing nine groups ahead of the final pairing, six shots adrift, and admittedly played the last 24 holes in 8 under par, fantastic bogey free 66, but you wouldn't think a 66 would be good enough even in the final round with such a top quality leaderboard.
Well, the lead going into the final round on what wasn't the toughest course of the year was 1200. I think he won on 11, didn't he?
Yep.
So he didn't even get to where the leaders were before the final round, so that's deeply disappointing if you back Kuchar and Woodland, as I have, or a number of the other players. I mean, if you back Adam Scott, you must be thinking, how on earth have I got a winner there?
Yeah, well, as you said,
he's a very good player these days.
Oh, he's almost in contention every single week at the moment, isn't he? And he was doing his post-round press conferences with Nick Faldo and Jim Nantz, saying that he expected to be one shy. So clearly, you don't want to say he's got a little bit lucky, but it's fortunate that the players in behind him have not capitalised on their opportunities.
Yeah, I don't know if lucky is the right word, but I think you're right. It's fortuitous, to say the least, to win that event with that score, given where the leaders were going into the final round. So he never had an ounce of pressure on him, really, did he? So until very late on. So, well, but fair play, he's been knocking on the door and he's got another win there, so he'll be going for Player of the Year honours with a couple of the others, won't he?
Yeah, just about to mention that. I mean, contender, without a doubt, for Player of the Year, having won his first major championship, the Masters, at the start of the season. And he's set himself up for a run at the big pot at the end of the season. He's got in contention to win the FedEx Cup now.
Yeah, it's all to play for that, though, isn't it? Mickelson would have a chance, Rose would have a chance, Tiger would probably have a chance as well. Yeah. It's interesting stuff.
One final word about Adam Scott, because I was reading an article that was written in an Australian newspaper online just this morning, and a lot has been made of him switching caddies to Stevie Williams, and that's not transformed his game, but giving him that extra couple of percent that's needed to win major championships. But he has changed coaches as well, hasn't he? Was working with Butch Harmon last year.
Yeah.
And he's actually working with his brother-in-law now, a guy called Brad Malone. It's interesting how things work out, because his sister, Cassie, went to study in London, and he's obviously fantastic friends with Justin Rose, and he asked Justin Rose to look after her. Mm. They went to a party together. She met Brad Malone, and now Brad Malone
is his coach.
So, and that
Butch won't be too happy.
Only started at the beginning of the year as well,
because Butch would have been his coach for a long time, wouldn't he? Yeah, the coach could be very important, although Stevie Williams probably thinks it's all down to him.
Probably so. And he just pipped Justin Rose as well at the weekend, didn't he?
He did.
Justin Rose,
what goes around comes
I'm
around.
I'm sure he won't begrudge his victory there.
No.
But Adam Scott, superb performance, and moves into the second week of the FedEx Cup with a big chance this week in the Deutsche Bank, which we'll speak about in a couple of moments' time. But first, we've got the ISPS Hand at Wales Open, which is played on the 2010 course at Celtic Manor, and Bernd Wiesberger is the 16-1 favourite here. Ross Fisher, I actually managed to grab a word with the elusive Mark Adsed this morning, and he fancies Ross Fisher this week, and that's why he's 18-1 in the betting. Francesco Molinari is 20s, Yousse Loughton 20-1, Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño is 22s, along with Miguel Angel Jimenez. It's 25-1 Torbjörn Olesen, and 28s and bigger the rest. Played, as I said, at the 2010 course at Celtic Manor. A few of these players will have good memories having played in that Ryder Cup team. And I'd say, Mike, here, that conditions tend to affect the scoring, don't they? It played really tough last year.
Yes.
6-under winning, Tongchai Zhaidi winning the golf tournament. And looking at the top five last year, you'd say those five guys, Tongchai Zhaidi, Thomas Bjorn, Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño, Yousse Loughton and Richard Stirney, I'd say they're all top quality ball strikers.
Yes, I would agree with that, Dave.
You know, real tee to green merchants that occasionally can struggle with the putter.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, that's a fair summary. I think it is a ball strikers course. The greens in regulation started probably the most interesting one of the top starts to have a look at for this event. I would go along with that.
Yeah. That's.
How many picks have you got?
I've got a couple of picks.
Two, I've got two.
I could have maybe had more, but there were just a few guys that I thought that I fancied that were just slightly underpriced, I thought. So I just stuck with two in the end.
I hear where you're coming from. I was exactly the same. Who goes first?
Shall I go first week? I quite fancy my headline pick. 100-1 on the headliner.
He's going for it.
He needs to. David Drysdale is the headline selection. A point each way on David Drysdale at 100-1. I'll start off, as I always do, with the negative. he's yet to win on the European Tour. But he is having a very, very consistent season, David Drysdale. He's actually made his last 8 cuts on tour. And he probably benefited from the recent 5-week hiatus on the European Tour. He came back, finished 10th at Glen Eagles, and he's getting to know this place a little bit as well, having finished 11th last year and 30th the year before. Statistically, sets up well for him this golf course. He ranks 7th in driving accuracy on tour this season and 18th in greens in regulation. Solid ball striker, a guy that's getting used to the demands of the 2010 course at Celtic Manor. I think he's overpriced. 100-1, David Drysdale. I'll take a point each way.
Fair dues, David. I'm going for someone a little bit short in the betting as my first pick. Yousse Loughton is my first pick.
I nearly jumped in and said I bet it's Yousse Loughton.
Well, you'd have been right. No point saying it now, though.
Too late.
He was second in this event last year on his first appearance at the Welsh course. Very good greens and regulation player, as we said earlier. On his 13th on the tour this year for that stat. Has been in good form all over the summer. 11th in Nordea, won the Lioness, 10th in the BMW International and 2nd in Ireland before hitting the buffer slightly in France and in the USPGA. Top 50 in France, and then just missed the cut in the USPGA. So hasn't played a lot recently, but I'm guessing he'll be raring to go. He's been, in really solid form all year, and he's elevated his game, to my mind, from this time last year when he was setting on this course. 22, and I thought I'd probably have him favourite for this event, I have to be honest. So I think 20s is a decent price, so I'm going to have a point each way.
Okay, you slouting the selection. I suppose you mentioned the only negative, the fact that he's not played much golf recently.
He hasn't played. I don't know if that isn't a massive negative, Dave. The PGA was, 3 weeks ago, was it?
Yeah.
So it's and he only just missed the cut. I think he was one over or something like that. It wasn't like he had 78-78. And, you know, to be fair to Joost, he's learning the ropes at major level. But certainly at this second tier, which is what you might call a standard European Tour event, I think he's a very good player.
Yeah, we commented last week about how the European Tour is losing a little bit of its lustre, and I think that's well advertised in this field as well this week.
Yeah.
I know we've got the FedEx Cup playoffs where the top Europeans are going to win all that cash, but still, not a top-class field for a big event.
No, it isn't, Dave. And even more last week at Glen Eagles. As you're right, I mean, it is the playoffs in America, but on a course it's going to host a Ryder Cup, you know, within a year, and there was a fairly average field, wasn't there? And this one is much the same.
My second pick, a guy that you went for last week, Raphael Jacquelin.
Well, I've gone for him again.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay.
So
well,
you can summarise, yes.
I thought the price was more than fair. 60,
yeah, I do.
66 to 1 this week. You can forgive last week. You finished 58th, and I know you went for him last week, but he was entitled to be a little bit rusty last week as well, having had such a long time off the golf course.
It was a concern, Dave. I mean, yeah. I think I flagged that up on the podcast that he could need the run, and it looked like he did, to be fair. So that's why I'm giving him another chance.
Yeah, 6 weeks off the course. Plays this event at this golf course very well indeed. Finished 18th here last year, 20th. Back in 2010, third back in 2008, so does have good course form, fits the statistics well as well. I think he's going to run big this week, so Raphael Jacquelin, my second pick. I'm just going half a point each way, though.
You didn't mention he missed the cut the other 2 years in that 5 years spell.
Just drift over that sort of
thing. He'll either go very well or will be having to make other bets on Saturday morning, one of the two. Because it is a bit like that at times, Jacquelin. But I agree with everything you say, Dave. You know, just before that Glen Eagles, he was his eighth in Scotland. Obviously won in the Spanish Open earlier this year. I'd love to see his greens and regulation stats being better than they are this season.
Yeah.
But he is one of those. I mean, he is a very decent player in this field. You know, he's got quality. He's a tour winner. 66 to 1, it was the price that really jumped out at me. And I think that's a big price, I have to say.
Yeah, I do. 66 to 1, Raphael Jacquelin. Honourable mentions.
Yeah, I've got a couple.
Yeah, I have.
Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño was top of the list, albeit his price is a little bit short, but he does have amazing course form. 9th, 12th and 2nd in his last three runs here. But not sure he's playing quite well enough at the moment to justify. Is he 22 to 1 or something? I mean, he's quite.
Yeah, 22's.
Yeah.
Short, isn't it?
I mean, Luton to me just looks a much better chance of winning at 2 points short. I'd take that all day long. Thorbjørn Olesen showed a little bit of signs of recovery last week. He's been way off the map. I don't know what he's been playing at. Certainly not golf. But he finished top 10 last week in the end, got a 9th place, and was 18th here last year, but probably a little bit too short to risk. Given that it's only one, could be an Indian summer for him. That might be a bit of a blip, and he might return to average form.
A guy that definitely on the radar this week, Thomas Bjorn, who I expect to play better golf at this golf course this week. I mean, he's absolute quality in this field, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's almost a
second last year.
33 to 1 he is.
Mm.
I think that's a big price for Thomas Bjorn, but he's shown nothing over the last couple of months.
No.
Rhys Davies is interesting, a massive price, 150 to 1. Again, shown very little, but this is a golf course that really suits his game. But he's been playing on the Challenger Tour recently and not playing that well on the Challenger Tour either. Has made his last couple of cuts on the weaker tour, but still not quite. Not quite got the form recently. Simon Dyson, who I picked last week, finished 28th last week, which was a little bit disappointing. But he's got three top 20 finishes in his last three starts at this venue. And a couple that I think will go well in the first round leader markets and could surprise as well. Matt Foster again. I think he could go well first round.
You're going to do that every week now?
Perhaps. He could set off well again, though. I mean, he's made the last five cuts at this venue and got a few top 30s here. And Tom Lewis, who has just switched to Butch Harmon.
Has he?
Over the last month.
I wasn't aware of that.
He finished 17th last week and finished 35th here on debut.
He should switch to Butch Malone. That's where he should be going. Oh, not what's he called? Brad Malone.
Brad Malone, yeah.
Butch is his brother, Harry. You don't know about him.
Another little anecdote was Brad Malone, when he first started going out with Adam Scott's sister.
Yeah.
He went to play. He wanted to be a professional golfer at that time.
Yeah.
Went to play around with Adam Scott. Came off the golf course and said, "I've got absolutely no chance." After hearing the sound the ball makes off the club face and the flight of the ball, so he thought, "I better turn my attention to coaching." Precisely.
Good decision.
If you can't play, teach. Yeah.
If you can't do, teach. Yeah.
So I think Tom Lewis might go well this week, and that's round about it.
Okay.
Ross Fisher was a bit too short, wasn't he?
Yes.
One other guy, Paul Waring, who finished sixth last week. He's finished 39th and 10th on his two starts here, and he's recovering from a wrist injury sustained in 2012. But he's played well this year, okay. Paul Waring, but again, a little bit too short.
Chris Wood could be interesting here. Yeah. He's another one. What price is he? Treble 33s?
Yeah, 33-1.
He could go all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could definitely go all
right. I mean, he finished 7th in the Bridgestone, which you compare those two events.
Not many of these would. This field would be able to do that, to be fair. No. And he's got reasonable course form around here. Wood, like him.
What about Tiger Woods? He's favourite for the Deutsche Bank Championship.
I thought you meant he was playing in Wales. I've got this wrong here. I had him down for the Deutsche Bank.
Well, goodness knows if he'll turn up.
Wood,
yet.
Oh, it was the Woods. I like it, Dave. Nice link.
We don't know if he's going to play, do we? Really, because he's got this back problem, which was sustained sleeping on a soft bed. I think was it a soft bed or was it a hard bed?
Is this the man who wanted to be a SEAL, which is the equivalent of the SAS in America?
That's it.
I don't sometimes get that.
Moons ago, though, wasn't it?
Do you think sometimes he plays up his injuries a bit?
A little bit.
I don't want to say anything too libelous on here.
No.
But, you know, just... sometimes he just seems to get... I don't know. Maybe drives his body that hard that he's... Sometimes susceptible to injury. I think there's something in that. He definitely hits the ball incredibly hard at times, doesn't he?
He can lash, can't he? When he's under a little bit of pressure sometimes.
But we'll see. Who knows? He's so he's such a figure in the game, though, isn't he, Dave? That the galleries surrounding him these days are even bigger than they ever used to be, I think. And he just seems to... His popularity and standing in the game, in America in particular, it seems to be all about him almost now, you know. They're relying on him really to win a couple of majors, I think.
And everything he does is magnified, isn't it?
Everything is magnified. You're right, and be interesting to see. You know, I shouldn't really cast doubt on him. He's a fantastic athlete, but he does seem to get a lot of injuries. You know, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it was the way he fell to the floor on his knees last week. I didn't see much of the event, but I have watched that clip, and he double crosses a 5-wood and hits it way left into the water. But it seemed to me that he looked to see where the ball was heading and then crumpled to his knees. It was almost as if it was... I don't want to say pantomime, but it was a little bit like that. But he has got this back injury. He's pulled out of one of his foundation events, a challenge event
this week
in the lead up to the Deutsche Bank to get
set to be 50-50,
for the second
it?
FedEx Cup. Maybe 50-50. But
you can't. I mean,
the great thing, no rule four, is there in the golfing world?
No.
So if you do want a bet, I'd get it on Tuesday or early Wednesday.
What price are we, Dave?
13-2, Tiger.
See, if he does play and he's fit, that's a very big price. Yeah. Isn't it? He was third here last year. He's in great form. His form figures are 6th, 140 and 2nd. You know, so
11th and 3rd.
In the course, yeah, at the course. But, you know, in the last four events, he's been in the top 6 three out of the last four events he's played. Yeah, if he's fit, you know, 13-2 is massive. It's a fair point, Dave. But then again, on the downside, he could start, give himself a chance of playing, withdraw after 10 holes, and then you've lost your money, haven't you?
Yeah.
So... yeah, I'm not picking him, are you?
No, I'm not picking him. And another reason I'm not picking him this week is because you're going to get some ridiculously low scores in this event, and it's more a putting contest than the other three events in the FedEx Cup playoffs, in my opinion. Brings more players into the into contention
well
this week.
This year,
he has been putting brilliantly.
He's right at the top of all the putting stats. His putting's right back, which is why he's won so many times this year, whereas in the last couple of years, his putting wasn't as it used to be when he was at his pomp. But the one thing that he does do well again these days, he's a superb putter. Apart from that final round in the Open where he was three putting from... wasn't he all the time?
Just didn't get that final round in the Open. Just didn't give himself enough chances.
Put myself
though,
in a bad mood now.
He's 13-2 favourite anyway, Tiger. Adam Scott's 11-1. Phil Mickelson 12-1. Rory McIlroy 14s. Justin Rose is 18-1. Henrik Stenson 25s. Jason Day and Webb Simpson both 28s. And it's 33s. Bar first of all, the championship runs from Friday to Monday.
Yep.
So it finishes on Labour Day. It is the easiest of the FedEx Cup playoff events, and the tournament made its debut in 2003 but became part of the FedEx Cup in 2007, and the field of 100 will be whittled down to 70 ahead of next week's BMW Championship. It's my belief here that Mike, that aggression is rewarded on this golf course.
Oh yes,
players firing at the pins, making lots of birdies, making lots of putts,
for sure,
and a low total will win. I mean, 22 unders won this title twice in the last 5 years.
No one's going to argue with that, with you on that, Dave. You need to get birdies here. 22 under is a low score.
It's a low score.
You need to be hauling out, don't you? And putting. I mean, putting is absolutely pivotal here. Don't think it's necessary to be particularly long or particularly accurate either. It's just get it on the green in the right number and put the lights out.
Yeah. Two picks I've got.
Two picks, two.
Okay. I'll let you lead off. My two picks are pretty big prices. I've gone for guys slightly away from the head of the betting.
Interesting. You're liking your outsiders at the moment, aren't you?
I like my outsiders at the moment.
I have gone for two players as well, so I'll go first.
I nearly jumped in with Juuse Lauten. Can I jump in here?
Yep.
Jim Furyk?
No.
Oh.
Not Jim Furyk, although he was very close. He was on my list because he is putting well, and he was top putter at the Barclays, actually. For the strokes game putting stat, Furyk was top. Now, he hasn't been putting brilliantly this year, but that's an interesting start, isn't it? Dave, he was 70-82 when we tipped him in the USPGA 3 weeks ago. He's 33s now.
Yeah.
So I expect him to go very well, and I'll probably be cursing if he wins, because he does have three top tens in the last 5 years here, and a 13th. And his current form, four top tens on the trot, so he's playing out of his skin. So, yeah, he could easily have been picked.
And he's someone you could just look for a top ten finish. If you don't think some people questioning his ability to close out golf tournaments at the moment, which is...
A bit harsh, but
reasonable.
Didn't do a lot wrong in the USPGA, did he? Just maybe was a little bit conservative on the final day, and Duffner kept hitting it to a foot, so, you know, that...
Is he 11-4 for a top ten?
That's not a bad price, is it?
Not a bad price.
No, it isn't. I'd go along with
that. Yeah, could have a go on that.
Yeah, put that up. Why don't you put it on your bet? I'm taking a little bit of a risk, even though it's only 33-1 shot here. I could see you might even squirm your face when I say Dustin Johnson is my
35-1.
35-1. Yeah, he's not. He's 62nd on the strokes game putting start this year, so that's kind of counterintuitive. But he just likes this course. He's got two top fours here in the last 4 years. Admittedly, the middle 2 years weren't as good. But I know he missed the cut last week at the Barclays, but there was a little bit of a hoo-ha about his engagement. etc., etc. And I'm just hoping that Dustin Johnson can bounce back to the form that he was showing prior to the Barclays. When, let's not forget, he was second in Canada, could well have won that, but for that horrendous triple bogey. And he was top 10, he was eighth in the PGA in between that. So I just think at 33, he's a winner when he gets there, is Johnson. When he has a chance, he'll win if he can. And some of the players who are short on him in the market probably aren't quite the same mentality. I haven't got quite, just in Jason Day rather being a good example, who was very high on my list, Jason Day, but he's got 28-1 and he hasn't really won once, hasn't he, on tour, is that right?
Yes.
You know, so Johnson just, I admit it's a little bit of a left field one, as he missed the cut last week, but I just have a good feeling about him this week, and I think having missed the cut, I think he'd be very focused to do better this week.
35-1, Dustin Johnson.
It's a decent price, that, Dave.
Yeah, the other Johnson's 35-1 as well.
He's in amazing form.
He'd have a good chance, wouldn't he? Mm. Great putter.
Mm. Not great course form, though.
No, he hasn't. I've not gone for either of those two guys. I'm actually going to lead off with Jordan Spieth as my number one pick here. At 50-1, Jordan Spieth.
Reasonable price,
I think it's a good price.
Been in very good form.
Really good form. He's second in the all-around on tour this year as well, Mike. And he has kept his form after the win at the John Deere. Finished second at the Wyndham, followed that with a tie 19th at the Barclays. He was first in proximity to the hole as well at the Barclays. Really aggressive player. Third in total driving last week as well. I think he'll just fire at every single pin around this place. I think the golf course will set up perfectly for him, and it's a big price, 50-1, yes, for arguably the most talented rookie to graduate from the Web.com Tour in many a year. I can't think of a more impressive rookie to graduate from that tour in recent times.
No, neither can I off the top of my head. I'm sure people will correct us if there's some obvious examples, but he looks the real deal, it has to be said.
Yeah. So I'll go a point each way, 50-1, Jordan Spieth.
Top notch. I'm going for a great putter as my second pick. I think Johnson, when he's on form, is a good putter, but he is a bit hit and miss with his putting. Whereas Jonas Blix is a very good putter.
Yeah.
You picked him?
I've picked him, yeah.
Oh, my word.
My second selection.
Oh, right. There you go. Well, we're copying each other again.
We are copying each other. Big prices as well.
Yeah.
80-1 and a 66.
He's very big at 80s, Dave, isn't he? Based on one bad round on Sunday where he shot an 81, it all went to pieces. And he fell from 6th to 58th in the Barclays because of it. But prior to that was 4th in the PGA, where he had a chance of winning, let's not forget. And this follows close on the heels of a win in Greenbrier and a top 26 in the Open over here. So 20th on his debut in this event last year. I think that's a nice sighter for him. That'd be one of my fears about Spieth, by the way. I think a bit of course experience could be useful here. They have played here for the last few years, haven't they? So
that is a negative, but you'd counter that by saying, is it as important on a track like this?
I know what you're saying, because it's so easy.
Yeah, because it's so easy.
But still, to get the birdies and know where to hit it and where to get the birdies easily, it's got to have an effect, Dave, I guess. I haven't studied to see whether past winners, if I'm being truthful, have much experience here, but I'm guessing that they've at least played here before, usually. So, but I'm not saying Spieth can't win, don't get me wrong. But for Blixt, yeah, that little side to last year, if he can play anything like he did in the PGA, which really was on a course that shouldn't really have suited him,
yeah.
This is more his cup of tea. He's in the tournaments where there are low scores, he tends to do well.
That's one of the reasons I've gone for him. You're looking at strong putters. This guy can really get hot with the putter, without a doubt. And his most impressive performances over the last couple of years, including his win this season, which was at the Greenbrier, where 13-under won, his two best performances, which came at the end of the PGA Tour season last year, where he won the Fries.com. 16 under par at the Fries. A week before that, at the Shriners, the Justin Timberlake tournament, shot 20 under par to finish third. Both those events came on the back of this event, the Deutsche Bank, where he finished tied 20th. So
he loves
this time of year, precisely. But even more than that, the golf course sets up perfectly for a guy like Jonas Blixt, who's
aggressive
and puts well. So I'm going a point each way. Jonas splits to 80s.
If this event had been priced up after round 3 on Sunday morning, he would not have been 80-1, would he?
No.
And I think there's a bit of an overreaction to that.
Yeah, I agree.
81, to be honest. I'm sure, a bit like Mark Kuchar, they'll be chomping the bit to get out on the course again after horrendous final rounds. But doesn't mean they're bad players, you know. So he was right in contention for that. He'll know that he's playing well, and he'll be going in there with confidence, I'm sure.
I'm so glad, by the way, that just looking at the prices there, that Justin Rose didn't win last week at 33s, because he's 18-1 this week. I wouldn't fancy him anywhere near as much on this type of golf course as I did last week. You look at his form on this golf course, 4 years, 54th, missed cut, 68th, missed cut. He wants a tough ball strike, his golf course, doesn't he?
He's not the best of putters on tour, is he? I'm not saying he's a bad putter, but you're right, he's a ball striker, and that's what, when he plays on those courses, he's more likely to be rewarded. Who was on your mind other than the guys?
Towards the top of the betting, I favoured Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, he must have a big chance.
Must have a huge chance over Rory McIlroy. They were the same price. Mickelson's just been cut ever so slightly. McIlroy fancied last week. He was 18-1 last week. He's 14s this week. I know the field has been whittled away slightly, but the guys that have been cut off are guys that are 150-1 plus. But McIlroy is not putting brilliantly at the moment. That was evident last week. He missed a whole host of putts from inside 10 feet, which scuppered his chance.
It's coming, isn't it? He won this event last year, so yes. I wouldn't put anyone off, but I think he's a bit short in the betting myself.
I do. I prefer Mickelson. Mickelson finished sixth last week at Liberty National. Winner of this event in 2007. Fourth and tenth here the last 2 years, Mickelson.
Yeah, must have a massive chance.
He's putting almost as well as he's ever putted.
Yes.
He was sixth in strokes game putting last week, so he's got a big chance, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with all that. Mickelson's got a massive chance. Fury, you're right. I thought I'd had a big chance. Jason Day was on my mind. He's second and third here in two of the last 3 years, and he's bubbling under and should really suit him, this kind of course where he can whack it a bit. He's a great putter.
Boston boy, Keegan Bradley?
He'd have a chance, 13th last year, but just not quite getting the... I don't know, making too many mistakes for my liking.
Yeah.
Whenever I watch him, when I backed him a couple of times, I thought, I'm not sure at the moment. So no, I wouldn't have him too high on my list. At 33s, I'd rather have, or thereabouts, Johnson than him, Dustin Johnson. Gary Woodland should grow well again, Dave.
Yeah.
He's playing great.
Putting?
Yeah, he can. Yeah. I hear what you're saying, but when you hit it as well as he does, and he'll murder the par fives, which is important, I'd give him a chance. Of the massive outsiders, another one that I thought caught my eye a little bit because he's quite good in low scoring events. Russell Henley.
Yes.
He's a very big price, so I might have a little saver on him.
He's 150-1.
Yeah, in 100 on a field, that's a big price for that guy, I think. John Herr as well, as always, but I don't think he's probably suited by an absolute birdie fest.
Who's the player you don't want to win this week, Mike?
That's a good one, Dave. In the European event, it would probably be Gonzalo, yeah?
Yeah.
GFC. And in this event, I would say Jason Day was probably nearest to getting on my list.
It's tough for me this week. I'm happy with the picks. I suppose Jim Furyk would probably have been closest. I'm not convinced he... I think he can close out, and I think what's been said about him being unable to close out is a bit harsh, but there is still that slight hesitation with me wanting to pick him at the moment. But he comes into this in fine form, good course form as well. So Jim Furyk would be my player I don't want to win this week.
Obviously, it'd be very close to me as well, given recent history. Yep.
That wraps us up pretty much.
Yep.
We do need to give Mark Adsed's picks. He's gone with Ross Fisher, 18-1. He's also kept Eddie Pepperell in that event, 66-1.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Deutsche Bank, he really fancies Tiger Woods this week. So he was very short on Tiger Woods, 11-2, I think, earlier on this morning, recording this on Tuesday. He's just
eased him out.
Yeah, eased him out, gone a bit more in line with the market at 13-2.
If he's fit, Tiger would have a massive chance. And ditto, as we've just said, Phil Mickelson, they've got big chances this week. And Adam Scott's got great form here as well, to be fair. But You know, there's not masses of value in backing any of them at the moment, I don't think. Tiger, if he's fit, you'd say 13-2 is decent.
Yeah, Adam Scott's one of those guys that you just expect to contend, though, don't you? If you're looking for a real run for your cash, I think you can trust Adam Scott more than you can trust Phil Mickelson or Rory McIlroy at similar prices at the moment.
Possibly, and Tiger's injury could put other people off, yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast. If you want to follow us...
By the way, Dave, I probably didn't give any stakes. I'll probably...
We need to recap.
To make it easy. Shall we recap?
Yes, let's recap.
Yeah. In the Welsh Open, I'll go... I forgot who I'm about here. Luton, a point each... I think I'll have a point each way on everyone. Why not? Makes it easy. Use Luton, a point each way. Rafael Jacquelin, the same at 20s and 66s, respectively. And in the Deutsche Bank in America... Dustin Johnson at 35-1 and Jonas Blix to 80, is he, Dave?
80.
Yeah. So we've got two shared picks out of four each.
And then big prices as well, 66 and 80s.
Get on the double punters.
Rafael Jacquelin.
Or maybe not.
Perhaps not. Rafael Jacquelin is one of my picks in Europe. Half a point each way at 66. Point each way, David Drysdale at 100-1. And in America, I'm going a point each way on both. Jordan Spieth at 50s. And Jonas Blix, the young guns, Jonas Blix to 80-1. Mm. I might have a Twitter bet in Wales as well, depending on the conditions, because I think they're an important part of the tournament at Celtic Manor. So you can follow us on Twitter at dkellner and at mgrenham. Also check out Golf Twitter Tipster. That's www.golftwittertipster.co.uk at Golf Twit Tipster on Twitter. And we'll be back next week for the third FedEx Cup playoff event. Speak soon!
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.